would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word. We're going to read from Mark. When I was doing the study this week, and this verse just spoke and was going to go along with the message. And so I want to begin with Mark chapter 2, starting verse 14. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and he followed him. And it happened that he was reclining at the table in his house, and many tax collectors and sinners were dining with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many of them, and they were following him. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why is he eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners?" And hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God who passionately loves those who are lost. We thank you that you are a God who seeks us out, who hears our cries, and Father, who did not leave us in our sin, but sent your one and only Son to die for us, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, help us as a church to never lose sight of the mission that you have put us here for. Let us never forget the purpose of what Jesus came to do and what he's called us to do, and that is to seek and to save that which is lost. Help me to be a plain preacher today, Lord, so plain that a child could understand. Out of all the people in the house this morning, there's strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to be in Luke chapter 18, starting with verse 35. Luke chapter 18, verse 35. And how many of y'all were blessed this morning so far seeing three people profess their faith in believers' baptism? Wasn't that awesome? And Everett just, that just excited me. And for some people who think that that we only reach young people, well, there's Everett, right? And I tell you what, he realized, he said, he has a brother in the nursing home, and he said, my life is, I'm getting close. He said, it's about time I've done this. About time I've done this. Get his life right with the Lord. And I tell you what, it's exciting. How many of y'all brought some friends with you this week? Anybody? Some? Okay. Some? Come and see. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're here with us. And that's what we got to have the attitude of last week's message is come and see. Just invite somebody to say, just come and see what God's doing. Amen? All right. That was last week's message, so let me get on this week's, okay? Here we go. We're going to look at two guys. Two guys that got in the path of grace. And we're looking at growing stronger this year. We're going to grow stronger in our going, and we're going to grow stronger in our loving. We go and we love and we gather. We're going to grow stronger in our loving because we need to love people where they are so they will connect to Jesus. And the reason why we say that is this, is that there's all kinds of folks around us that are busted up, they're hurt, they're desperate, they're sick, and they need to know Christ. We can't change anyone. How many of y'all have already come to that conclusion? Parents, you can't change your kids. Some of you, you try and you've tried and it doesn't work. Why? Because we don't have that power. Jesus does. Wives, you can't change your husband. Some of you, you tried and you've tried. How many wives have you tried to change your husband? Huh? It doesn't work, does it? Jesus can change him. Man, you can't change your wife. You just can't do it. You're not going to have that power. You're not that ability. But Jesus can change your wife. We can't change people. Jesus can. And so when we say love people where they are, it doesn't mean that we like where people are. It doesn't mean that we even agree where people are. It doesn't mean that we condone where people are. But we realize that people are busted, and we're going to love them to the point where we take them to the one who can heal them, the one who can save them, the one who can deliver them. Now, these are two guys. They got in the path of God's grace. Now, some of you, you did that. You knew you were sick. You knew you were lost. And you came to church maybe at some point in your life, or you began talking to a friend at some point in your life and talking to them, asking them questions about who Jesus is. And you got in the path, and Jesus saved you. Some of you might be here this morning because you know deep down there's something inside of you that's not right. You know deep down you don't have a relationship with God. And so this morning you're coming to church. Why? Because you're seeking God's grace. Some of you have came this morning and you're getting in the path of grace. And when you do, and when you desperately know you need Christ, you call out to him. Now we're going to look at two men. They got in the path of grace. And they called out. And they were in a bad situation. In Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 35, it says, "As Jesus was approaching Jericho, there was a blind man was sitting by the road begging. He was blind. He had no means of occupation. There was no braille system there. There was no way that he could live. And so what he had to do is he had to beg for a living. That was his living. He could not see. And so he begged for people to be gracious to him so that he might get some money to eat and some food to eat. Now, hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by." So you have this guy. He's blind Bartimaeus is what his name is. He's Bartimaeus, and he's a beggar. And he hears this commotion. He hears this gathering. He hears this movement. And he's like, what's going on? He can't see. He doesn't know. He would love to see. He would love to be able to see the people. He would love to be able to see where he lives. He would love to be able to enjoy that gift, but he can't. And so they say, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So now he starts getting excited. How many of y'all know that when Jesus passes by, it's worth getting excited over? Jesus makes all the difference, right? Everywhere Jesus is, there's potential for God to break loose and do some amazing things. And he called out saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The Greek word called out there means a shriek, a cry. He was desperate. He was blind. He needed God. And he heard Jesus was passing by. Maybe he had heard the stories about Jesus healing another blind man. Maybe he heard the stories about him healing the leper. Maybe he heard the stories about him raising someone from the dead. And when he heard the name Jesus, there was hope that just swelled up in him. And when he realized that Jesus was passing by, he was not going to let anything rob him of his moment to encounter Christ. And so he began to act a little undignified. He began to call out and shriek, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." How many of y'all realize that when you're in desperation, it doesn't matter how dignified you are? When you need help, all you do is cry out. When you get to the point to where you need God, it doesn't matter. Caleb was about just 1 year old. He was just about to turn 1 year old, and he collapsed on our living room floor. And his body curled up in a ball, and he clenched, and he was not breathing. It was early morning, and all I had was a pair of sweatpants on, a t-shirt, and my socks. Michelle was talking to Connie, my mother-in-law, and all of a sudden, I yelled out, "Something's wrong! Caleb's not breathing!" She tries to call 911, but she can't because she's on the phone. We bust out of the house, and I'm carrying Caleb in my arms up and down the neighborhood, and I'm crying out, "Help! Help! Help my son! My son! God, help me! God!" And I'm just crying out, and I'm acting like a fool, but you know, when you need God, you don't care. There was a lady, Phyllis was her name. Some of you know her. She heard my voice. She's an RN. She came running. She's like, "I know CPR." And she takes Caleb and begins doing breaths. They get him in an ambulance, take him down. Still not knowing what's going on, we get into the ER. He's breathing. I'm down there in my socks, in my t-shirt, and my sweatpants, and my hair is all messed up. But I didn't care. Because I knew I needed God. And this blind man was at a point to where he desperately needed God. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. But those who led the way, it says in verse 39, they were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. The group, the crowd who was there knew Jesus. They could see Jesus. They knew Jesus was there. They tried to quiet this guy down. Quit making a commotion. You need to be quiet. We don't act that way. And I don't want to be in the crowd that hinders people from coming to Jesus. Do you? Do you realize that a lot of times church people can hinder people from coming to Jesus? Oh, we don't want those people coming. Oh, you're getting a little loud. Stop that. Why are you lifting your hands? Don't you lift your hands during worship. You stop that. But this isn't going to stop this guy. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Why? Because he knew that Jesus was his only hope. And he cried out, and he didn't let the people say that told him to stop, stop him. Never let anybody hinder you from the path of grace. Never let anybody hinder you from the path where Jesus is. And it says in verse 40, and Jesus stopped. The cry of this blind man stopped the Son of God. He stopped and he commanded that they bring the man to him. And when he came near, he questioned him. He asked the man, he says, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, I want to regain my sight. Literally in the Greek, it's like, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Literally in the Greek, it says, see. It just took one word for him to see. He said, what do I want to do for you? He said, I want to see. Jesus says, see. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight and he began what? Following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they praised God. Well, that's good, isn't it? Whew! I was beginning to worry about some of those in the crowd, weren't they? Telling him to stop. And then Jesus says, no, bring him to me. What do you want me to do? I want to see, Lord. Now, think about that. He was asking Jesus to do the impossible. The impossible. Who can make somebody that's blind see? Who has that power? Who can do that? Only God. He's asking Jesus to do the impossible. Can I tell you? You can ask Jesus for impossible things because he is God and he can do them. Some of you think, well, I don't know. He could never hear my prayer. Cry out to God wherever you're at in life, no matter what you're going through. Cry out to God. You keep crying, there's a time he stops and he hears. And he has the power to say, see, and you see. There was another man in Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Jesus is moving. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going through Jericho. When he entered Jericho, he was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. You all know Zacchaeus, right? Zacchaeus, man. He was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. And he climbed up in a... For the Lord, he... And then one day, he passed that way. And he looked up in the tree, and he says, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. Oh, y'all have heard that song too? Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Those rich people. We don't need those rich people around. Can I tell you? They need Jesus too. Can I tell you that people who have wealth need the Savior, just like blind Bartimaeus needed the Savior? Just because somebody looks poor and they look like they've been busted up by life, oh yeah, they need Jesus. But the guy that's wearing nice suits, driving nice cars, rolling in the dough making a lot, he could be just as broken and empty as the blind beggar, and he needs Jesus too. So church, guess what? Living Water, we welcome all people. Poor, rich, middle income, don't matter. You're welcome here. Everybody's welcome here because everybody needs who? Jesus, everybody. Everybody. And those who realize that they're sick can be healed. Those who realize they're lost can be found. And those who cry out can be heard. And Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. They didn't like him. Why? Because he was a Jew that went to work for the Roman government. That Roman government. You know how you all feel about the IRS? That's Zacchaeus. They didn't like him. Why? Because he turned on his nation and he's taking taxes from his own people. And here's what the Roman government would say. They said, here's what you got to tax your people. This is what Rome requires. Anything above that, you can keep. So most of the tax collectors not only collected the tax that Rome required, but they collected extra for themselves. So they were disliked. He was considered very greedy and ripping people off, okay? He's one of those people that we don't like. But you know what? Zacchaeus, he realized something. Though he could see physically, he was blind spiritually. And you know who has the power to open up the spiritual blind eyes? Jesus. And Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was. Maybe he heard about Jesus through Matthew. He was also a tax collector. Remember, we just read it in Mark? Levi, that's Matthew, a disciple. And Jesus was reclining at the table with a bunch of sinners. And what did the Pharisees and scribes say? What's Jesus doing around all those scribes, all those sinners? And what did Jesus say? He didn't come to call the righteous, but the unrighteous. Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, and he gets in the path of God's grace just like Bartimaeus did. But he was unable to see Jesus, for he was small in stature, and because of the crowd, he couldn't see Jesus. Church, may we never be a church that crowds out the sight of Jesus. May we never allow the crowd of our church to eclipse our Savior. May we never block people from Christ. May we never hinder people from seeing Jesus. May we be a church that's a sycamore tree for people to climb up and just take a peek and look at who Jesus is. For he was small, so he ran ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him. For he was about to pass through that way. Now, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. You see, Zacchaeus thought he was just going to try to catch a glimpse of Jesus, and he thought that he was seeking Jesus, but guess what? Jesus was seeking him too. Because as Jesus passed that way, he sees this man up in a tree. And he says, Zacchaeus, woo, he knows my name. You come down, I'm going to stay at your house today. And he hurried and he came down and he received him gladly. Now, look what happens again in verse 7. Now when they saw it, this is the crowd, this is the group, they all began to grumble, saying, well, he has gone to be the guest of a man who's a sinner. That Jesus, can you believe him? He actually cared about the lost. He actually cared about those who did not know him, who were disconnected. He actually cared that people were disconnected from him and they needed to be connected. Jesus knew that Zacchaeus needed him. And he went. But the Pharisees, the religious folks of the day, said, does he not know what kind of people he's hanging around? He ought to be hanging around us. We're the righteous ones. We're the ones that love the law. We're the ones that follow the law. We're the ones that have our groups together. Why is he out there with these sinners? Oh, church, the beauty of living water is that we've always been a church for the unchurched. We've always been a church that says, hey, if you've never been to church before, we don't care. We'd love for you to come. If you don't know what salvation means, we don't care. Come. If you don't know the church language, that's fine. Come. If you don't even know who Jesus is, that's okay. Come. Just come and see. We're the sycamore tree where people can climb up and they can peer in and they can say, I see Jesus. And then Jesus can call their name out and say, come down. We get him here. Jesus speaks. He says, come down. Zacchaeus stopped and he said to the Lord, this is verse 8, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. Whoa, Zacchaeus got saved that day, because nothing but salvation is going to make you do something that crazy. That was the most intense the law required. The strictest law in the Old Testament of what you must do if you've defrauded or stolen or cheated anyone. Zacchaeus said, I'll take that charge. I will obey the strictest law because I know I have hurt many people. I have stolen from many people. I have robbed many people. So I'll give it back. I'll give half my possessions away. And then if I've robbed you, I'll give you back four times as much as I took from you. You see, when Jesus changes somebody, they get changed. A lot of times we wonder about people. And we think, man, I can't believe it. Well, they might not have encountered Jesus. Because you see, church won't change you. Baptism won't change you. Coming down and just repeating a prayer that the preacher says won't change you. But Jesus, he'll change you. When you're born again, everything changes. Your mind, your heart, your purpose, it changes. Why? Because you've been changed from the inside out. Now, if all you've got is religion, nope, you'll be a scribe, you'll be a Pharisee, you'll be a Sadducee. And you'll not be changed. Zacchaeus had an encounter with Jesus that day, and it changed him. Jesus says to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. He too, by faith, believes in me. Not that he was just a physical descendant of Abraham, but by faith he believed in me. So that makes him a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So church, we love people. Rich or poor. Addicted to drugs, not addicted to drugs, addicted to money. Those who are just feeling like they've got a perfect life, but they don't have Jesus. From those who are down and out and they know, man, my life's falling apart. There is a place for them to cry out so that Jesus can stop. And there's a place for them to climb up so that Jesus can see and call them out and say, I can heal you. I can set you free. And today, guess what? If you need to know Christ, he says, come. Come. Well, I've been a member of a church. Don't matter. Well, I've signed my name to a church row. Doesn't matter. Well, I've been baptized. Doesn't matter. Do you know Jesus? Let's pray. Father, we love you. And we are so thankful that you hear us when we cry out in our desperation. Lord, that you see us when we're climbing up a tree just to get a glimpse of who you are. And Father, today there may be someone who they may not literally be crying out today, but in their heart, they're crying out to you, God. And I ask that you hear them and you speak to them. Father, we may have someone that's climbed up a tree today just to get a glimpse of who you are. And you've spoken to them and you've seen them and you've called them to come down, for salvation is here today. Lord, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing in our hearts, would we obey? Lord, for those of us who know you, would you help us to love those around us and to help people know you and point people to you, that we would never block people, that we'd never quiet people, but that we would be people who would help them come to know who you are. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, let's sing, let's respond. Let's move this morning. Would you come? For whatever reason, God's speaking, you respond.